the scheme.
Oh, here we go.
Smoke another black, roll another up. You know that we can really ease your mind. Every time I smoke a reefer, that in your heart makes me fly. If everybody smoked a bubbly, the mind of work could be a better place. If everybody took a break and we all just get wasted.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHH 103.5 FM Community Radio and streaming live on Facebook and TuneIn Radio. We are joined today by Kiefer Smith Bolden of Canna Health,
hey.
Joe Raymond of the Connecticut Craft Cannabis Alliance.
Hello,
and
Mr. Joe.
From Turk. And Trikes, Lou, what are you going by now? You also have a new company.
D9 Lux.
D9 Lux. So, all right, D9 Lux. We got four of us on the air today. That's great. We're waiting for Uncle Lou to join us. I want to thank everybody for joining us during the COVID shutdown here. So how's everyone doing? We can start with you, Kiefer. How are you doing during this?
I'm doing good. I mean, I'm a nurse, so even though I do this cannabis stuff, like, I actually still do regular nursing. I'm actually a hospice nurse, so I have continued to work through all of this. Definitely managing, like, where I go and how I go there. You know, I was able to get masks and stuff like that, but overall, I'm doing well. Canna Health is an essential and so, you know, we are able to stay open, so we're still seeing patients. We're utilizing telehealth, and those who don't have that, we're coming up with alternatives. So, you know, everything is everything. The only difference is I get to spend more time sitting here in my bed than ever before in my life.
Yeah, me too. I've been getting a lot of work done around the house. Trying to clean up, but I've been getting orders for coffee and things like that, things I never thought happened. And we're keeping Canna Health open through telehealth. Mm-hmm. We were allowed to do telemedicine. DCP allowed us to do telemedicine, so we're very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
So patients can still get certified.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also very grateful that the governor kept the medical marijuana dispensaries open for business during this shutdown. So, Joe, here we are. I wanted to ask you a question. How are you doing during the shutdown? I'm sure you're
busy.
But I wanted to ask you, being you're from the Connecticut Craft Cannabis Alliance, what do you think about this whole thing of Curaleaf buying the three Aero dispensaries?
So
that's definitely against cannabis. That is more corporate cannabis we're talking about
right here
in Connecticut.
So my issue with that is that, you know, everything in Connecticut has, you know, pretty much shut down. I wonder, you know, I heard through some other channels that everything was legal that they did because they went through some, you know, corporate structuring the way they bought out the existing Aero pharmacy. So I heard it is legal, but I would like to question some legislators on that, because is that something that an equity applicant would be able to do down the road, you know, fully integrate? Because if that's not something that other
vertical integration
would not be allowed in the state.
Yeah, so sounds like vertical integration to me. What do you think?
Peddling more, you know, undergrown, pesticide-ridden medical marijuana.
What do you think, Lou?
Well, I mean, we're starting to see, you know, now that more information is actually starting to come out, we're starting to see that the Connecticut medical industry is not the golden industry that a lot of politicians have claimed many times in many different type of publications over and over again. And we have been saying you're completely wrong and you have no basis of this. Now that the data is actually coming out and we're actually seeing that it's starting to really operate as what you consider any other corporation or industry would. And there's shortcuts and, you know, playing the legal game as far as to make more profit, ultimately, off the backs of the worst type of people to try to make money off of, you know, people within the medical industry, that people that actually need help. This is why, you know, like many of us is like, this is why home grow is such a crucial thing. Why bother? Like, because they say, right, one of them was caught for, you know, that's 25. There's only four of them. So that's 25% of the cannabis within Connecticut is already bad, right? That we know of. Right. And now, got this mobility, you know, with all that stuff. It still just pushes. And even still on top of that, this whole quarantine really forced, like, you know, because if you look at the people that go to the dispensaries tend to be more of our, you know, our retired class citizens, right? They're already like in that point. There's no sense to further, you know, put them in extra danger if they don't need to, if they can grow it at home.
Right. Or have delivery. What about delivery?
Well, you know, again, I don't want to give more tools to the current system that have now. Right. So I am for delivery, but I am not for delivery right now because of the current system. It will just be worse for everybody, pretty much. Because then they'll just leave bad weed in your house.
Yeah, that's true. And Curaleaf is actually the one who just got caught with a recall, right? A big one.
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. They put the recall. That's right. They did put out that on social media maybe 2 weeks ago. My other thing is that, you know, with the market the way it is, these are all corporate, you know, many of the growers are, I think, what is it, two or three of the growers are corporately owned. I mean, now what if we get another situation where there's a full economic collapse? Now you've got these privately, you know, these publicly owned companies, and, you know, they're in charge of growing medical marijuana, and God forbid that this happens again, who's to say that you know, they don't, they're more... I just have issues with them providing medicine when their biggest issues are their bottom line and the dividends that their stockholders are making. You know, but I do think that they've made leaps and bounds this session because they've been, now medical marijuana has been deemed essential, and I think that's huge.
I wanted to bring that up.
In terms of a rec market, I mean,
Can I add one thing? This is America, and companies will do what the law allows them to do.
Right.
So we can't get upset at a corporation or a company, regardless of their level of greed, if they're going to take full advantage of the system. Because, you know, if you own a business, you'll take whatever tax breaks you can get. Corporations just happen to have the money to actually, you know, find those extra loopholes to save extra money. We blame the laws, and we fix the laws to close out those loopholes. Right. That's what I say. Since it's an election year as well, I think, you know, holding these people responsible, really putting their feet to the fire is, you know, the most, especially now too. And, you know, we can still do that. We can't go and campaign and protest now physically because, you know, of the restrictions, but there's nothing to say you can't do that on social media.
Oh yeah, I agree. And now I wanted to bring this up with you guys. Now that marijuana basically has been deemed essential, not just medical marijuana, but in some recreational states, not Massachusetts, but other rec states, they've kept recreational dispensaries open. Doesn't that give us more fuel for our fire? Like, how can something that's been essential be illegal?
Right.
If you're deeming it essential, how can it be illegal? So, I mean, I really think this kind of will open up a lot for us. Kibra, I know you want to say something. What do you think?
I mean, definitely... I just think it just is another piece of evidence to support, you know, our case that, you know, it should not be illegal anymore. But I think that we've kind of already established that. I think the most important thing is making sure now that we've established that the laws are written to reflect that, with the expungement of records, with the non-criminalization of things going forward, because the plan is still to criminalize in some way, shape, or form anyone who is not a part of the DCP cannabis industry here in Connecticut. So, yep. I mean, I think we really need to be looking at that because, you know, we have all of this evidence that the laws initially were put into place with racially motivated factors in mind, money first, none of these social concerns, none of these things. So it was a law that should have never happened. So anything that happened because of that law now should be turned over and we just give everyone a clean slate and start over again. And we need to look at, and then so the law should also, because of all of this, now we're acknowledging these wrongs, should reflect that the people most harmed by these laws benefit from this industry. There's right. just more evidence to support all of that.
Now, Kibra, now being this in election year, Kibra, you know, I'm sure you've been talking to like representatives running for re-election. Now, what, you know, even though they end up being a governor's bill to legalize, what have they been saying? Like, have they saying anything? I know because a lot of them don't want to push the thing because it's an election year. They want to make sure they get their seat. But, you know, no, without saying any specific names, I'm curious to know what people are actually like. I mean, what are our representatives during election year are thinking about legalization? Because the governor's already for it.
Well, prior to the start of session and maybe kind of at the same time, but a little bit before, the three governors were getting together and coming up with this plan. When I talked to several legislators, including state reps and state senators, who all were like, we're not touching it this session. We're not going near it. It's an election year. It's a short session. We don't have time for it. After the beginning talks of, you know, after all the governors met and they started talking about doing this tri-state thing, the attitude changed. And I was just hearing, oh, well, it's going to happen now, like, period. Like, it, you know, and we'll work out the details. So, but then I also heard from a couple of legislators who were saying that it's not so definitively, you know, that like they might not have the votes. And they were kind of like doing a count to see what they had, and it wasn't looking like it would support this legislation going forward. So I've heard things all over the place, you know, and really very little lately because everybody's so concerned with what we're dealing with as a nation right now. So, you know, nobody's really talking too much about all of this.
I think that changes. I think that what's going on in the nation, though, helps to change the perspective on cannabis as well. Because if you remember around 9/11, you know, you kind of, when things like this happen, I think it makes you really put life into perspective. And I think it'll be a little easier to persuade certain people about, you know, that cannabis, you know, it is a stigma. And you know, I just feel like big events like this make people, you know, really put certain things into perspective in society and life. So hopefully, you know, it really does help to, you know, further our arguments in terms of, like Kieber was saying, with, you know, just everything should be erased. I mean, I feel like before marijuana was made essential in this crisis, that the freedom is essential of every single one of those pioneers sitting in prison. Like, what's up with that? You know, it's just, right. But I know that you have to, certain things come first, and we are the state of incrementalizing. So, you know, that there's that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. I think though, from what I'm seeing out there and from what I'm reading, the dispensaries now are doing more business than ever.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, let's look at the positives for our industry. Cannabis stocks are one of the few stocks. I mean, I don't know about you, but my portfolio is in the green right now.
I know. So,
right. Cannabis.
I know I bought a lot of stock. Yeah. Well, a whole bunch of different things. It's cheap right now. This isn't going to last forever.
Right. So cannabis stock is doing well. And so I think throughout this whole thing that we're going through, cannabis is probably the one industry that's going to end up coming out looking good. I mean, I think it's actually going to benefit from this, just right. from what we've talked about.
There's something,
because alcohol is up too. You know, and that's the thing. Like, I wonder if we could look statistically at, you know, alcohol-related incidences over this time, because I know a lot of people are, if they're not choosing cannabis, they're drinking.
Oh, yeah.
So,
how's a liquor store an essential business? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But they did clean it, though. You know?
Well, you know, they're trying to, you know, they're just trying to make sure that they don't have any riots, social dissent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's true, though. Alcohol, cannabis is recession-proof. Mm-hmm. Before, right. It used to be also bars and, like, concerts because you're still able to, like, you know, go for entertainment regardless of how bad the economy was, right? But now, because of social distancing, now it's more of just, like, alcohol and cannabis. I prefer cannabis over alcohol because, you know, you don't hear people dying from cannabis. You hear people die from alcohol all the time. Right. You know, it's you know, I think it's a good industry to invest in. I think it's a good industry to get into. We're recession-proof.
And the little guys are doing well right now, too. The black market guys are booming because, you know, they're the only delivery guys in the game right now around here. Yeah, right.
Nobody wants to leave the house. I hope they got masks. Maybe we should start a legacy market mask fund.
Yeah, with little weed leaf on the front. Put the leaf on the front so you know you're just.
Yes. Keep them out there. They serve.
I'm essential. Fund. Don't stop me.
That's right.
Especially don't try to go in Rhode Island if you got New York plates. My God.
Oh man, that's crazy.
That whole state, I mean, I'm just glad I don't live there. It's everything there. I thought we were backwards in Connecticut, but wow.
There, well, yeah. Look, this just goes to show you, right? This is something kind of like dangerous to kind of read into between the lines. You read what she said. She ended up asking her lawyers if she can close the borders, right? And you can only end up doing that within martial law. So they're kind of like they're flirting with that line and is calling it curfew or at least be able to reinforce quarantine, right? Every single governor is doing the same thing. They're trying to figure out how to get as close to cutting rights without actually cutting rights. Mm-hmm. If they say, and a lot of things end up being under the flag and banner of public safety. This people really need to also keep it in the back of their mind, too, as far as, like, how much freedom they're willing to, like, chop out of your life as a citizen for the sake of public safety. Because so you know, it could be done. That one day you would need a pass to go between state borders. Like, people think it's impossible, but it's not impossible.
No, it is not.
And then we really need to keep a lot of this stuff in perspective. I mean, human coronavirus is not new. COVID-19 definitely is a new strain. This is something that has been there. Like I have said a million times, yes, this is serious because statistically, by about a point and a half, coronavirus is more deadly than the flu is. But hundreds of thousands of people every year get the flu, die from the flu, and we don't take these type of precautions. So although I think it's great that we're slowing this thing down because they are still understanding the science of it, especially of this particular strain, but, you know, I just want people to keep things in perspective. I really feel like this was more of a time that was kind of set up by, you know, the powers that be to kind of us to take a moment to stop, to think. Like somebody was just talking today about children and this time and how, you know, how parents can manage screen time for their children or whatever. And one of the women was like, don't be afraid of letting your children be bored because it will engage their imagination. Right. Like, you know that kids don't even freaking think anymore or daydream, and they're like on their phones and like never, like they don't even do. So like just some of the things that I think we need as a society is happening. Like just a bit of a break. So I do think it's a good thing. You know, I think this has turned out to be somewhat of a blessing in disguise in the midst of, you know, a tragedy because people have lost their lives. But I don't know.
I agree with you, Kibra. I'm a creative, as you know. So some of the best ideas that I have is when I'm bored. And I know this because my mind wanders. I've done a lot of research and I've done a lot of training to kind of keep myself in this professional zone. And some of the best ideas is like driving along long highway, no music, nothing. And my mind just like wanders and I come up with amazing ideas, amazing like campaigns like that when there's nothing like that. There's nothing better really truly to get bored. Like, this phone has put so much stop to a lot of things. And like you said, like, we're at home now. We could actually able to change how we interact with our family and how they are. And for some people, reconnect.
And I think we're also going to help to address some of the people who have been closed-minded. I mean, we're a show about cannabis, so we'll bring it back down to cannabis, or back to cannabis specifically, but, like, it's some people who have been closed-minded about it, you know, like, you know, there are some people who are like, this is an essential business, what makes them think that, and Google that, and then they're getting information about what cannabis can do, how it is essential, how necessary it is. Oh my God, who was Harry Anslinger? What did he say? You know, like totally like begin to change. So, you know, this could be exactly what we needed to change hearts and minds in a lot of different ways, on a lot of different levels, you know, from criminal justice to the economy to how we treat our most vulnerable citizens. And so, you know, I just think we need to take advantage of that and kind of just expand the conversation. And what better way than with a joint in your hand, you know, opening and thinking, and especially if we do like more of these community kind of conversations where we all just like jump on a Zoom and, you know, virtually pass a blunt and have a conversation.
No more passing, not this month.
A couple things I've noticed on social media and just in general is that the amount of online content, like people who are doing this right here, what we're doing, has exponentially grown. Mm-hmm. So this is like what you're saying. People are coming up with podcasts, mm-hmm. people are going live and talking about things who never did before. Artists are doing concerts, right, for people live who never did these kind of things before. So I think we're going to see a cultural shift. And like you say, in some ways, like Joe was saying, the whole pass, puff, puff thing might be something that's not part of our society anymore. However, that doesn't mean you still can't socialize and enjoy cannabis together, but you just would have to have your own, you know, your own device and your own thing to do it from.
That's how they do it in Jamaica.
That's right. That's right. Everybody has their own blunt. That's what
you'll pass.
But
sometimes I'll be like, it's my turn to pass already. So if I get to keep it, that's great.
I think we're going to see a lot of new brands come out of this because people are home. They're thinking of things. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see new innovations. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I can confirm that. I have my business as far as dealing with website design, graphic design, consultation, dealing with new brands, new packaging design, like, has exploded. I've been like really, really, really busy. Like, I can confirm that for sure because people are home now and they're able to actually finish projects and actually, you know, think about stopping to work the 9 to 5 and then finally, you know, go forth for that company or the invention they've always wanted to put out to market. So I can confirm that for sure, that a lot of things are coming out soon.
Yeah, we're going to see a renaissance. I do believe that a renaissance is going to come out of this. I'm personally not too upset by it. I don't mind because there was a ton of stuff I needed to get done around here. But definitely going to see a renaissance in creativity coming from people, hopefully in the cannabis industry. I'm sure people are going to be trying their hand maybe this year at a little cultivation. I don't know.
Fungal issues. having some.
Really?
I don't know. It's all the rain.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. All this extra rain that we've been having. It's just, you know, that's something too that, you know, California growers, when they come out to the East Coast, especially New England, learn really, very quickly that it doesn't matter how, like, amazing you got your built out, right? When it's wet and humid outside, your dehumidifier is going to be working extra overtime. Right. And if you don't compensate fast enough, right, because that's the thing with New England, right, it'll be super dry one day and it'll rain and it'll be super humid the next day. And if your machine isn't ready to, like, flip like that, you're going to end up having problems. That's why it's just
how it is. Well, that's what happened was I was away for a weekend and then, you know.
That's all it takes. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be trying cultivation this year and things like that. But What about the fight for legalization? Do you guys think it's done?
I think the governor should just write it in for the medical side to just grow. I think we have, what if we just end up petitioning? Because it seems to me that these representatives are real, I don't know, what do you want me to say, skittish or not, you know, they're not risk takers. They're not, you know, they're not pioneers. They're not mavericks. They're not any of that stuff. Why? Because it's an election year. So right. I think if we petition the governor to at least sign in grow rights for the sake of public safety, I think we can get that done. I think we can get that done at least. Because if not, we're going to have to wait for next year again because of this, because of everything that's happening. Because now everybody's shift has gone from, you know, what normal Connecticut business is to public health and safety.
Did Cuomo say they were going to fast track their bill now?
Oh, yeah, because Cuomo knows the deal. This is business.
Did he? I'm not sure. Did he say he was going to?
You know, they're working a lot of back channel stuff. He did mention it, but he's like, no, something like he quick commented, what would you rather be doing? He said legalizing marijuana or something that. Yeah, he said something like that. So, you know, it's in the back. You know what I'm saying? Like, not, you know, like it's still there in Connecticut because Cuomo and
Lamont
are so close. Like, you know, they're corporate friendly Democrats, right? They're very much like want this to go forward. There's a lot of money to be made. Let's be real about it. Now, this is why the governor could at least sign something. I mean, can he executive order this anyway, if he wanted to?
He could. I'm sure he could. I just think right now his mind is elsewhere. Yeah. Maybe when they're saying, what, April 20th or April 30th is the end of this whole thing. Maybe that's, but then... Isn't our session supposed to end on May 9th? I mean, right. How much time does that leave him to do anything?
Nothing at all.
None.
Nothing. Because right, they can't vote virtually, right? The representatives.
I don't think they've allowed that yet.
Yeah. So this is another thing that I started thinking about. And some South American countries have semi picked it up with an app. As far as like direct contact between the representative and the citizen, the voting citizens within their district, and also how to vote on bills digitally versus having to deal like that, this public risk as far as like that, and still basically stopping business. I think this is time to innovate also our government system to the point that we can actually still function, you know, and still be able to like, you know, deal with public safety.
Ibra.
Speaking of businesses still being able to function, so I got a hold of the stimulus money application, and we are not allowed to partake in any of it if we have any type of cannabis-related business.
But we're essential.
But we're essential, but they're not giving us stimulus funds.
Oh, yeah, I was reading. That is not cool at all. But here we come back to the same question. How is something that's been deemed essential still illegal and nobody's getting any funds?
Because it's been deemed. Oh.
What'd you say? Go ahead.
Because it's been deemed essential by your state and not federally.
Yeah. Yeah. But aren't some of those funds state funds?
Yeah, what about the state grants?
The state grant specifically said no cannabis-related business.
Oh.
Which I thought was really interesting because what if I couldn't keep my doors open? What if I couldn't pay my employees? Like, but you want people to still go to dispensaries, so you should still want people to still get certified. So you should make sure that we have what we need to be able to do so.
So right. this goes to my point as to like when you asked me, Joe, in the beginning about that I was Terps and Trikes, now I'm D9 Lux. Well, that's the reason, right? Because if you end up having things within cannabis themed like that, you're automatically like almost, you know, flagged for, you know, and pushed out of a lot of different services, right? Regardless if you're doing something that has to deal with like platform specifically does a character like that, you're building a product, you're still like that, but because your association, you could be denied a lot of things. So
Right.
Part of the things I ended up doing now is just changing the name. I'm still doing business. Actually, on both. I'm actually not just doing business on the cannabis industry. I'm actually doing business on the regular market side. You know, a salon, some products, some lotions, like a lot of different things. It's actually pretty cool. But that's part of it too. So now I'm able to get grants and get loans and, you know, be able to actually expand my business so I can hire more people and actually give out, put out more jobs versus not, because I'm restricted from growth because of it.
Right, right. And that is the best.
We all have like LLCs and stuff that we could work around, but geez Louise, like how again are we deemed essential but not supported in being able to stay open as businesses?
Right, right. Joe, what's going on with your restaurant? Did you have to close down? Are you not working?
Yeah, they're taking to-go orders and you know, just doing takeout. But yeah, we were laid off, and I received pandemic unemployment insurance, and I'm a little confused with the whole unemployment. It's not very clear. I heard we were getting checks for $1,200 also. Then I heard we're getting an additional $600 in our unemployment. So I'm not quite sure. I know I got a partial check last week right away, but I had signed up immediately when we were laid off pretty fast. But yeah, I mean, restaurants are really hurting, salons, barbershops, tattoo artists.
Look at my nails.
I'm all radio.
Yeah, they closed the vape shop.
I really feel for, you know, luckily, I'm okay, but yeah, I do feel for people in those service industry type situations that are definitely probably panicking. A lot of those business owners, you know, it's really going to be, when we go back, I'm really curious. It's going to be a little bit of a different American culture out there. I think, you know, like Kibra said, this was definitely a positive thing in a way too, because I know for me, it let me just kind of sit back and reflect on, you know, where I've come with Craft Cannabis Alliance, where I'd like to go, and kind of try to take a look at what this industry will be. Because, I mean, let's face it, we are operating right now in something that's like totally gray market, where there's a lot of, you know, great brands that aren't legal or legal brands that aren't that great, or, you know, so it's, you know, you've got a lot of research and stuff, and you know, you have to put a lot of research into the things that you're buying because there are so many regulated and unregulated choices out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like, it does kind of stink though, being in quarantine constantly. I want to go out.
Yeah, I know. I need some supply. I need art supplies. I need, you know, I would love to go. I want to go to the museums, man. Like, this is like, I'm a nerd and I'm an artist, so I like those type of things. But not being able to go is just not cool.
You got DeWanda down there from the Healthy Pot. DeWanda, do you have anything to add to the conversation?
Oh, Joe. Can you hear me? Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You can hear me.
We hear you.
I'm just listening. I think this is great what you guys are doing, and I agree with it all. I agree with Kibra. My nails look horrible. I agree with Joe. My socks aren't doing as well as yours, Joe. And I'm home just brainstorming, trying to get some new ideas for the website and just trying to work with people to see how far we can get, even though we can't go anywhere.
Right, right. For those who don't know, DeWanda runs a company called The Healthy Pot, which is a CBD brand, and she sells like a CBD care package for people with various products in it.
Very nice to meet you, DeWanda.
Nice too.
She's a student, actually graduated our classes, right, Kibra?
Yes.
I'm the first.
And every time I see something she's doing, I make sure I share it and support her.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you for clicking the link and joining us. But yeah, this is kind of a new thing. But like I said, like we were talking about before, this may be the way it's going to be. You know, this may be the way to go from now on. here we can have a discussion amongst five people right here and talk about topics, and then just get off the air and, you know, do it again next week or pop on anytime we want when something, you know, strikes our mind. Right. And I think this is, you know, I think this is a new way to do it. And so we got to take the positive from what's coming out of this. And
again, I just think it's making people pause and take a moment, like just doing things that we normally should have been doing, like washing our hands, you know, but people are actually washing their hands. And so I think that I don't think this will be our new normal, like where we're sequestered, I mean, or, you know, quarantined in the house. But I do think that it may be a, you know, disease reduction, virus reduction habits that we'll put into place. And maybe we'll see a decrease in a lot of these viruses, like the flu or like some of the viral pneumonias and things of that nature. So people are being more clean. and utilizing more standard precautions. You know, I hated the part about the not being able to touch people, though, because I really feel like I'm a hospice nurse. I'm going to see people, and their family members are dead or dying, and they're crying. I got to give them a fist pump. Like, nobody wants that at that time.
Or the elbow, like, my bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I do feel like that is part, like, people do need to still be touched every now and again.
Yeah, we're humans. We need that.
Yeah.
We need that. That's just as simple as that. The social distancing is probably, like, the weirdest thing. Like, you know, people have been, you know, even, like, I've talked to, you know, these amount of people like that over, you know, phone like that, and they even reconsidering friendships, depending on what that friend does for a living. Like, I'm sure, like, somebody ends up working in a hospital or something that could end up potentially coming across other viruses like that. Like, people are, like, rethinking, like, friendships with people or, like, limiting how much they end up hanging out with those friends. I mean,
oh my God, is that why nobody's calling me?
Maybe. People, the paranoia that this has been put out there has people questioning friendships depending on what they do. I mean, I've always said it. I think the most dangerous job, in my opinion, is the garbage man. The sanitation worker, that, in my opinion, ends up being the most dangerous job out of any job like that, because he's dealing literally with the stuff of the junk and the spit like that we throw away.
Oh, that's true. You're right. And that, I've seen some of the, that's true. That is very, very true. You never know.
Did you guys see that they, in the midst of all this in Colorado, they actually issued their first delivery license, and it was expedited because of this whole situation that going on, and they had some medical patients that had no access to vehicles, and so they two of the lawmakers in the state worked really hard and got this policy put through, got the two different delivery services licensed and deemed essential right in the middle of all of this. So I think, you know, in ways that it, like Bieber said, there's different positive things that will come along with this. You know, I think things are going to be very automated in terms of our phones, even though as much as they are already, they're going to be more tied to our purchases and stuff from here on out. I think that cash is going to hurt too, because people don't want to touch cash and pass it around right now, you know, and that's just going to digitally, you know, that's going to digitally tie us up a little more, I think.
Well, you know they talked about the Bible did predict this, you know.
Uh-huh.
What's not new under the sun?
Bible predicts a lot of stuff in general.
Yes. Just don't take that vaccine.
No.
But just, so, you know, can we start a petition so we can get the governor to at least give grow rights to medical patients? But we can get a petition going for all the medical patients within Connecticut to send this petition to the DCP so the governor can sign to give everybody grow rights for public safety, I think we could do that.
So with the
law and delivery, let's go for both.
Let's go for both.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I want to go for grow rights. I don't really care about delivery right now because honestly, I don't want crappy weed delivered to my house. I don't. I pass. Why? Because that system is messed up, right? There's only 4 growers in the whole state. You know how you don't like that? You just don't deal with that system. And honestly, I don't want them to deliver more crappy weed, and I sure the hell don't want to give them more money. I want grow rights, and that's the petition that I want. I don't want the delivery. I want grow rights. Let people grow their own things.
Oh, that we
save money. That's actually better. That's actually better for the retired class. They end up saving money and growing their own thing. That's what I... Nah. Delivery, no way. They're already expensive. I don't like the dispensary stuff, and I don't like those growers. I don't like them, period, and I don't recommend anybody. If 1 out of 4 sucks, I can take 2, and that's 50% already. Why am I going to buy potential a flip of a coin of bad product? Grow rights, grow rights, grow rights for public safety's sake.
Yeah. Lupino, I think this could be the argument that could get it done, finally.
All right, let's agree. Do it.
Let's do it. Where do we do it? Care.org or something like that?
Can't we start aren't there like petition starting sites and stuff?
Yeah, that's what we need. Like something like a GoFundMe. Because
ain't nobody going to sign your paper.
Yeah, we don't want to make money.
You can't go door to door.
Go door to door. What are you talking about?
Definitely. Let's do that. Change.org, changepetition.org like that. Drive a petition. Or to change, you know, to add grow rights to the medical patients in Connecticut. Governor Lamont, the people need you to do this.
All right, who's going to do it? Which one of us?
Could we get Norm? Could you put the normal, is that?
Yeah, I have a normal conference call tonight. Do you want me to see if they'll do it and put it under their name?
Well,
it doesn't matter who is it. We could get the signatures.
We'll put
it doesn't matter who it is.
New England Craft Cannabis Alliance, all of them.
All right, I'll bring it up.
It doesn't matter. It could be John Q. Public. This is what makes sense.
Right, it does.
I really don't care who takes credit. I really don't. Like I said, John Q. Public, this is what makes sense. That's what I want to do, what makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out. All right, let's go right now. No, I don't want to interrupt the meeting. But, no, I think that's a great idea because now would be the time to take action. Somebody in Colorado took action to get that legislator to do that. So yeah, maybe all it's going to take is Illinois somebody.
Wait. Why don't we get a representative to do it? You think a rep? That sounds better. Is a representative out there is willing to start a petition to get cannabis grow rights to medical patients in Connecticut for public safety's sake?
Hebrew would know, but she's off right now. She'll be back on, I'm sure. But
just call me. I'm sorry. Okay, but yeah, no, that's true. I got the usual question. All right, bye bye. If somebody can have a gun permit and a medical cannabis card,
a medical marijuana card, right?
Yeah,
it's federal.
Hebrew,
no.
What? It wasn't one of my cops, was it?
No. Okay, so what did you say?
We were talking about, is there any legislators that are for grow rights that would help us get behind this? Might start the petition?
Start the petition. That's it. And then and it's up to us to just like blanket share everything and everybody.
I know Josh Elliott is definitely behind grow rights.
Is he behind grow rights?
Yeah, I don't know if he would do a petition, but I will text him right now and ask him.
Yeah, a petition just for grow rights for medical patients that the governor can end up enacting. That's what we're looking. Nice and simple, cut dry, no extra anything. That's it.
Yeah, if we can get that. I mean, if he could by executive order, that'd be great.
That's it. It can be done. It can be done.
We should probably put the petition together, though, and then bring it to a and then send it to the legislator, have them put their name on it. I don't know.
Yeah, if couldn't we get it signed first and then have them present this?
Right.
No, the reason I'm saying a representative, because if a representative already already elected, right, is actually pushing this petition, it draws more. It raises the, you know, that they have
no, yeah,
to know. You know what I'm saying? Versus an organization can very easily during this time be ignored, right? But if you end up going to like the point of public safety from an actual representative politician, that changes the story, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's why I asked, like, is there anybody willing to put their name on this? Like, it's what makes sense, and it's nothing crazy. We're not talking about a cannabis industry. We're not talking about or growing facilities. We're talking about individual medical cannabis patients' grow rights.
How about Diddy? Candelora?
Oh, shoot.
How many plants would you guys ask for? Six?
12.
Yeah, six.
I think that
How about 10?
Well, the more specific you are, that's what I'm saying. The more specific you are, the better. You just don't want to say, hey, give us grow rights. Say, hey, we want grow rights for 6 plants. We want grow rights for 12 plants.
All right.
That's easy. Proposal right up front.
We propose that all medical cannabis patients be allowed to grow 10 plants for, you know, while they have a medical cannabis card. Period.
Let me ask you something. Are there other than California and Oregon, what are the others? Are there other states in excess of 6 plants?
Yeah, Maine.
What's Maine? 12?
Yep.
Washington?
Michigan. Michigan's, yo, you want to hear Michigan?
Oh, Michigan can grow
72. Michigan's like 72.
72 plants.
Like, it's a ridiculous, wow. Like, they can carry around with them like 3 pounds all the time. Like, it's an unbelievable, ridiculous moment. Have you seen that their society has not crumbled? So this whole thing about numbers is really dumb.
And they have a caregiver program where the caregivers can actually make money and have like sustainable businesses by growing for several other people. Like, they have
they can sell the old, that's how Rhode Island used to have it. They can end up selling their overages to medical dispensaries, obviously with a, you know, after passing laboratory testing, then they can sell it to a medical dispensary.
Wow. Well, I heard that the hemp program is going to allow hemp growers to start selling their overage to medical dispensaries as well here in Connecticut. Well, not only their overage, but their hot crops too.
Nice. Yeah, but I'm guessing like lotions and like concentrates, edibles, stuff like that.
Yeah, because the medical growers, they don't grow the hemp. So they're extracting, all their CBD comes from THC weed, and it costs too much to make, so they're looking for cheap, you know, cheaper product, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know how, you know.
No less than 10 plants. No less than 10 plants, honestly.
Right. 10 plants, I think, is a good number.
50?
No, 10. I think 10 is a good number. I don't know that'll scare the legislators. It might.
Look at Michigan. You're like, oh, it's going to call it crazy. But look at Michigan. It didn't destroy their medical dispensaries. It sure the hell didn't destroy their recreational shops. It did not do that. So that whole thing that they're like this, like that, it's a lie.
Because
it's a lie.
Never, ever want to grow. Like, there are people who would never want to grow. They don't have the time for it, the patience for it. They don't think they can grow the quality, so they will always want to go and buy it.
Yeah. Thank you. Exactly that point. Thank you.
Some people just don't have a green thumb. I mean, they just don't.
There's definitely a learning curve there. Yeah. Definitely a learning curve.
Cannabis is not basil, you know. You just can't put it out in the sun and throw some water on it.
And that's what people think.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe that's what we should like push, how difficult it is to actually grow quality cannabis. So don't think everybody's just going to be out here just growing weed for days. Like, I think that's really what they have in their mind.
Speak for yourself.
So Harry just gave me the 2-minute warning. Does anybody got any thoughts to wrap it up? Anything going on that they want to promote real quick?
A lot of quarantine.
Kidhealth.com.
That's it.
All right, Joe.
Just, you know, follow us on Facebook, New England Craft Cannabis Alliance. We're always looking for the what's going on in the cannabis and hemp industry, trying to, you know, spread the information around. And, you know, everybody, please wash your hands and stay in so we can flatten this curve and get back out and socialize and not pass joints.
That's it. Lou?
As far as my social events, there's nothing available currently, but they will. Once summertime hits, I'm going to have a lot of stuff growing. But currently, if you guys need any kind of like graphic design or video work, cannabis industry or not, that's all we're doing right now. I have a whole team like at full capacity right now, like ripping through a lot of stuff. So be safe out there and just follow the basic rules that stop the bubonic plague. Don't poop in your on your dinner table and wash your hands.
And as far as I go,
setting this up, Joe. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. We'll do it again next week. Yeah. I like this group chat. Maybe there'll be more to talk about next week. I'm sure there will be. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, just visit cannahealth.com. We are still doing certifications. And in behalf of Uncle Lou, Wepa Hep Farms, we're sorry he didn't make it on, but I know he had an important call, but he'll be on the week. And this was great, guys. Thank you very, very much for coming on. And you're all invited on next week. So right. We'll see you then, 1 o'clock next Monday. All right.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Peace.
All right. Bye-bye.
I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. I'm taking it next semester, and I know why. Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high.